So good to see you guys today. Yeah, we've had a long week here, and I appreciate everyone who's done served and been here with us and enjoyed us. This has been I know a lot of you are still spring breaking and that kind of thing, and I'm glad you came out of the woods to join us here in an actual building today. One of the things I want to say this morning as we go on is as I introduce Tom and Beth Camacho. They are married. I just want to let you know right now they certainly are brother and sister, and I want to make that clear because he's often pawing on her, and I want to clear all that up. So we don't want they are from North Carolina, but this is a good family. Now, they are ultimate Tar Heel fans. You need to know that. So if you're going to talk any basketball or any Elite Eight or things like that, don't make the mistake of speaking of anyone else. And certainly don't speak of Duke. He doesn't want you to speak of Duke here, even though Melissa Radcliffe is there. So we want to honor them as they go. Now, Tom, I've known for a while here, a couple of years as it was. These guys went and planted the Blue Ridge Mountain. Is it got mountain in it? It's Blue Ridge Vineyard there in Asheville in 2008. And they've been pastoring in that time together is a wonderful. And of course, they have their beautiful daughter here, Rebecca, who's here as well. You want to give her a big hand. You don't want to mess with her. She'll knock you out, too. So, but in that, their heart has been coaching and to bring that in, and they have brought so much to our movement in that way. Tom is precious to me. He is a platoon leader, and I like to call him Old Beans and Bullets, which is that's his war name that was there. But he just once said, we can't go beyond our beans and bullets. I didn't know what it meant, but I sure like the Old Beans and Bullets. We just go with that. But I'll probably introduce him that way, so I wanted to lay that platform there. But today, we're looking for a wonderful time here in the Lord and also just a time of ministry time afterwards. So I want you to just let the Holy Spirit just come and begin to move here even now as I introduce Tom, Old Beans and Bullets, Camacho. Come on.
Hey. Well, I don't really know how to follow that. If I get laughing, it's just I will interact with Raymond, and I call him Raymondisms, and he'll say things, and I just look like the RCA dog. I'm like, I don't really know. Is that normal? Is that normal? He'll say things, I'll be like, and you know, I am a professional communicator. I don't even know what to say. I'm like, yeah, nod and smile. I just love him. You know, it's never boring. If you're within 50 feet of him, it's never boring. I love it, and I'm honored to be here. And can I explain the beans and bullets thing? So the context was you cannot outrun your supply line. And in the Army, you can only run as far as you can feed your soldiers the beans, or if they don't have any bullets in their gun, they're not very effective. So you can't run beyond your supply line. And I threw out the Old Beans and Bullets, and he grabbed hold of it, but I don't think he had a clue what it meant. But it's okay. Okay. So, well, I am Tom Camacho, and my family's here with me, and we have had an absolutely great time training, teaching. We planted Blue Ridge Vineyard in 2010. We became the Vineyard of Asheville. Anybody know where Asheville, North Carolina is? Do you know where that is? Yeah, there's some guys that wear light blue uniforms that'll be playing some very awful basketball players from the Kentucky today at 4. But so go on. I knew there would be some here. So they play a little basketball up there, just a little bit. But anyway, so we won't go into that. We also serve on the national team of Multiply Vineyard, where we travel to speak and encourage people on the subject of multiplication and empowerment. And that's what we've been doing here. And I just want to say on behalf of us, thank you for hosting us, for all the hard work, everybody that put in. People came from Louisiana, from Arizona, other places to get here to get that training. We're just really grateful for that. So I just want to share a few thoughts today that are on my heart. It's a privilege and an honor to be here, and I feel like I have a message in a large context for us as a Vineyard movement, but also one that I feel specific for you here. So let's invite the Holy Spirit and I'll share some of what the Lord's put on my heart. Father, I just thank you for this place. I felt at home here from the first day I walked in. I just love the people and the heart and the laughter, and the community that's here is tremendous. I love it. And it's a privilege to be able to just share my heart and these thoughts. Holy Spirit, I ask that you'd take them and you would put wind behind them. And it would do some significant movement in the hearts of your people here this morning, but also to birth your kingdom here in this part of Texas. But it would reverberate out throughout the world, Father. I just pray, even as we have this service this morning in Conroe, I ask that the implications would be larger than here. They would be personal, but they would be corporate all at the same time. So come, Holy Spirit, use this for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 So I want to tell and begin with a story after I read these scriptures, because I want to speak on catching the wind. Wind is a very common and very clear picture of the person of the Holy Spirit. So I want to read a couple scriptures and begin with a story, and then I want to outline what it means to catch the wind and what it means to be a people of the Holy Spirit, because I have in my own journey different experiences with the Holy Spirit, some of them positive, some of them that freaked me out. Everybody's been freaked out because you just don't really understand. And I've had a journey, but the Lord has been teaching me, there's an ease, there's a rest, there's a flow, there's a power resident in the third person of the Trinity that we all need to cooperate with all the time. So let me read from the scriptures, they should be able to read it up above. This John chapter 3, we'll start there and then we'll move to the book of Acts. And Jesus answered, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do you not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again?" You're familiar with that phrase of the born again experience. But now listen what he says. "The wind blows where it wishes. You hear the sound of it, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it's going. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit." So the Spirit is tied with wind. We all know what wind is. I think you get a little bit of wind here. You had a storm the other night, and the wind was blowing, and the lightning was coming. And you can tell when something's when the wind is present, not because you can see the wind itself, but you can see the effects of the wind. And it says not just that's what the Spirit is like, but it says so is everyone who is born of the Spirit. And so as I go around, I coach people in this country and other countries and people on my own staff, or just and I just talk to people. If your eye is prepared, you can see when the Spirit is moving. You can tell. You can look for particular effects. So the Spirit is wind. And I want to harness that, and no pun intended, in this message to catch a sense of that God is moving in your life right now. He's moving in this church. And the power of God and the impact that we're seeking is when we cooperate with the wind, when we move with it, when we're sensitive to it. So wind is spirit. Let's go to the next verse. "When the day of Pentecost," Acts chapter 2, "had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a what? A rushing mighty what? Wind. And it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And then it appeared to them divided. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire and sat upon each one of them." The Spirit is the wind. The wind is the Spirit. But the Spirit moves in people. This is a building, this is a structure, this is a church, but you are a living temple and in some ways a living sailing ship where the wind moves. The wind moves you as an individual and the wind moves us corporately. As I've had the privilege to travel to different places and speak to Vineyard churches, I want to just quickly give you, you probably have done this here and you have some of the DNA of who we are as a movement, but I want to re-articulate some of those of who we are. And then end with, of those values, what this means to be a people of the Spirit. I believe catching the wind means cooperating with the Holy Spirit in taking risks. John Wimber would say, faith is spelled R-I-S-K. And you can have all the mental constructs and the theology down of the Spirit. You can have a sense when you feel, either people say, well, I feel the Holy Spirit. Look at those goosebumps. Or I sense the presence of the Lord in this place. But one of the keys from our history is this. The kingdom comes when we respond to that Spirit and take a risk. Do you hear what I'm saying? It's what we are. We're meant to be a risk-taking people. Deuteronomy 6:4-9 says this, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength. And these words I will command you today shall be in your heart. You'll teach them to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. You'll bind them as a sign on your hand. You'll be as frontlets on your eyes. You'll write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." There are three things I want to talk about catching the wind. What it means to catch the wind. First of all is to remember who we are, that we are a Spirit-empowered people. That's what we are in the Vineyard. We're Spirit empowered. We believe in the movement, the active, present, ongoing, and even manifest movement of the Spirit. That's who we are. You need to remember who you are. And secondly, I also want you to realize that we have to orient ourselves to the wind. If you're a sailor, it doesn't matter if the wind is blowing. You don't have to set your sail to the wind. It doesn't do you any good. You can't orient your life, orient your work towards the wind. And lastly, I want to say, and this will make sense when I show a clip from a movie that we love, my family loves, called Moana. Anybody seen Moana? So you're going to watch a little movie clip today. Movies in church, right? Awesome. But it means, I want to say lastly, you need to go beyond the reef. If you've seen that movie, it'll make sense when I get to it. That we have to move beyond fear. We have to move beyond limits that are in our minds to see the kingdom come. Now, I'll explain Moana when I get there in a little bit. So we as a people in the Vineyard, quick history lesson. Let me just give it to you real broadly, but quick history lesson. We are voyagers. We're people who move and take risks. The history of the Vineyard movement was a mighty outpouring of the Spirit in the 80s. In Southern California, and it was an explosion of church planting, of healings, of visible signs and wonders, of John Wimber traveling the earth, speaking on signs and wonders, doing a course at Fuller Seminary called MC510. We were a people of the Spirit, but not just the people who would talk about it. We call it in the Vineyard, we would do the stuff. You ever heard that phrase? Who'd like to do the stuff with Jesus? I love it. It's part of our DNA. Let me give you a quick history lesson. Several of the things that make us who we are, and then I want to end with the wind. First of all, we are a people who believe in the center of theological thought and practice, which we call the radical middle. We believe in the best of evangelical theology and all kinds of understanding what Scripture means and the richness of the Reformation, all the truths there. But we also believe in the richness and the power and the awesomeness of charismatic and Pentecostal practice. And what the radical middle is not getting too far down one way to dead evangelicalisms or charismatic Pentecostal experience that's weird and somehow off the ledge. Anybody seen any off the ledge? Well, I'm not making fun of that, but we have tried and we think it's healthy to try to remain in the tension of scriptural, accurate, theological breakdown of what the Scriptures mean in an original language and to whom, and we want to invite the power of the Holy Spirit. Who's ready for that? We want both. We don't want one or the other. We're not a people that are going to settle. We're not going to people who we love the tension. We call that being an empowered evangelical. Secondly, we believe in the centrality of the teaching of the kingdom of God. It's not even about my church particularly. It's not particularly even about Vineyard Church of Conroe. What is it about? The kingdom of God in this part of the world. And the kingdom is our church, your church, and all the other people who believe in Jesus. That's one of the things. We had a word from a lady Friday night. Maybe it was Saturday morning. I can't remember, but she mentioned that the Vineyard was always given to the whole church.
You know what that is? That's called the kingdom. Right. Not just us. You're a gift to this whole community. God's working here, but he's working in other places. And we never in the vineyard thought, we're the repository of all that God is doing. That is not right. That is not who we are. We don't believe that. We believe we're one part. We're a good flavor. We like our flavor, but it's bigger than that. The third is that we believe in doing the stuff, which was John Wimber would come back to the Gospels. A lot of evangelicalism would focus in the letters of Paul and the epistles and what Paul said to the churches. And that's all rich, and we love that too. But Wimber did something unique. Through the confluence of his theological and Holy Spirit experiences, he took us back to the Gospels, and he started to say, why don't we do the stuff that Jesus did? Why don't we do the stuff in red that he says to do? And he said, you know, when do we get to do the stuff is a famous story. We believe that all people, not just clergy or people in a ordained Christian ministry, but everyone should be do the things that Jesus did. Amen? One of the biggest ones that went around the world and what we're known for is simple and accessible worship. Beautiful worship this morning, guys. I love that. It had a Texas feel. It was really awesome. I love that. I just dug it. I dug it, man. You guys did a great job. But I've been in vineyard churches around the world, and it sounds different. But all of them have these qualities. Intimate, me to God, singing to our Savior, that's simple and accessible. I've been places that you would not believe, a Romanian church that was so staid, and they had their dresses and their suits on, and men over here and women over here, and you're thinking, this is really strange. And I had a guitar, and I was doing worship. I was a worship leader, and I was doing this little event, and at this guy would preach on theology of worship, and I would play, and it was this awful sound system, and you had to wiggle the cord just to make sure you could play it, and I'm like going, oh, God, you got to help me. And I said, well, what do you guys like to sing? What do you like to play? He goes, we like Draw Me Close to You. I said, that's a vineyard tune. I could do that. He goes, yeah, sing that. So I just start playing, and I mean, this place erupted. You're all I want. You're all I want. It was astounding to me in Romanian because I started in English. And I thought, this thing has gone around the world. This movement, the music of the movement became a sound and a song and a part of who we are all over the world. A couple more. We also believe in natural supernatural, not weird supernatural, but naturally. I feel the Lord saying something to me. Could I offer you something I think he's saying about you? Could I pray for you right now, wherever, in the grocery store or in a restaurant? We believe in that. We also believe that things flow through relationship in our ministry. We don't believe that it's all about platform ministry or awesome, huge strategies necessarily. We believe that God moves through the relationship between husbands and wives, fathers and mothers and children, and friends. We believe everything flows through that. And we have always cared for the poor, which I love how he can hear you guys doing here. I won't go into that. But let me talk about the last two. We're a people who believe that the Spirit is always working and that our mission, if you will, is to find where he's working and cooperate. That's what we're called to. It's who we are as a people. We call that come Holy Spirit. And if you don't come from a spirit-filled background, you might say theologically in your mind, you'll say, well, you know, the Spirit is omnipresent. There's no need to say come Holy Spirit. But we have a particular bent on that. We believe this. We believe that the Spirit can come and he's always present, but the Spirit can manifest himself. Amen. And come in a very physical, even sense of physical present way where John Wimber called the numinous of God, the very weighty physical presence of God will come into a room. Who's ever experienced that in a meeting? He's here. He's like, he's not sort of here. He's in the room. And I will say this, and I say it with much passion, but much burden. If we lose that we are a Spirit-led people, we're just doing church. Are you with me? If we lose that he can interrupt what I'm doing, If we lose the fact that we have to continually come back to, what are you saying, God? What are you wanting me to do, Holy Spirit? We could just do religious stuff. And we would just have a vineyard take on it. And I'll tell a story in a minute about myself, that I had gotten to that. And then lastly, he would say that faith is spelled risk. And this is what John Wimber was known for. He would get into a meeting. He would usually teach a simple message on the kingdom of God, which many people have told me wasn't that really dynamic. You just teach. It wasn't about that. The dynamic was when he would wait. And he would begin to get words of knowledge. He'd begin to call something specific out of a healing or a situation or someone, and the Spirit would speak to him, and he would invite the presence of the Lord. He'd have a team with him. They would start to call it out, and then the Spirit would begin to move throughout the whole place. Healings would come. Prophecies would come. People would be filled with the Holy Spirit, speak in tongues. All kinds of richness would happen. Non-hype, non-pressured, not trying to make it. It was because of risk. So in that knowing who we are, that's the people that we are. We're a spirit people. But let me tell you a story that's it's real and it's exciting, but at the time it was painful. So I planted the church. It was 2014 maybe. I can't really see. Yeah, it was 2014. So that's just 3 years ago. Holy cow. That's unbelievable what's happened. So I was at a revival in Columbia, South Carolina, and I was ministering and doing some things down there, and I was really burdened about my local church. I really was. I was burdened about my life. I know I'm a vineyard pastor, but I was not seeing the miracles. I was not seeing the power of God. I was not seeing the ripple effect of kingdom coming. We were just trying to keep a church going. There's nothing wrong with that, but let's hear my story. And I told a friend, I said, I'm not, he goes, how you doing? Pastors ask that. How's it going? How you doing? I said, everything's going great on the outside, but I'm not happy about what's happening. What's wrong? I said, I know we're a people of the Spirit. I know we're supposed to do this stuff, but I don't feel it, and I'm not doing it, and I'm troubled by it. And he said, well, there's a little course that's right near your house, about 10 minutes from you, a little Presbyterian Reform group called Presbyterian Reform International, a guy named Brad Long. Why don't you go to one of their courses? It's coming up in a few weeks. It was like 3 weeks from then. And I thought, my schedule will be full. I probably have lots to do. Look on my schedule, nothing on my schedule. I was like, well, maybe there's something on my schedule. No, nothing on my schedule. So I sign up. I'm thinking, I'm going to go to this powerful course with all these people. I'm going to get zapped by God. I want to be zapped by God. I'd really like to be zapped by God. There's five or six people in the room. I'm disappointed. I'm like, man, how am I going to get zapped by God with five people? Wasn't about that at all. They begin to teach on the theology of dependence and submission to the third member of the Godhead. Can you hear that? He's not just Jesus apostrophe light. He is the third member of the Trinity. We got into the theology like good Presbyterians have great theology. And I dug that. And I had to stand up at the first meeting and admit and say, I'm a vineyard pastor, and I don't know how to cooperate with the Holy Spirit. It wasn't funny at the time. It was humbling. But who's ever been hungry for more? I was just hungry. Beth and I had seen more. We'd seen revival in the Toronto movement. Beth and I have seen the power of God. But somehow I had seen things, experienced things, and gotten to this little safe little corner, and I'd stopped sailing with God. I'd stopped putting up my sail. I wanted everything manageable, everything I could put in a little box so I could manage everything and no hair get blown around, papers get shuffled. So I know what's going on. So they start praying for me, and they start going through this whole thing about dancing with the Holy Spirit, catching the wind of the Holy Spirit. The first time I heard the phrase then was sailing with God and cooperating with the wind of the Holy Spirit. And then I had this amazing situation where this was in May of 2014. This is what actually has happened. Since I opened my spirit up to sailing. This guy prayed for me. I don't know what your background is. I'm your vineyard, so you probably can handle this. I got knocked back about four rows of seats, and I'm a pretty big guy. I didn't kill anybody. It was good, but I did get knocked back. And I go back. Something hit me, and I just start backpedaling. I fall on the floor. And it's just, I'm electrified by the Holy Spirit. It's like fire is going through my body. And this guy, and he comes over, he starts praying to me, and I instantly have this picture. Jesus is looking at me on the water, and he's grinning, this humongous grin, and he's going like this. He's saying, come here, out on the water. And I'm like, okay, yeah, I want to do that. As I step out of the boat to go to Jesus, he's saying, come. The minute I get my feet onto the water, from my right comes a wave of the Spirit. On the wave is a surfboard. The surfboard comes up underneath my feet, and the wave takes me around the world. So I'm sitting there, and I'm laying there, and I'm just like, what the heck? I come out of it, and I'm like, well, that was interesting. But watch what happens. 1 month later, an email goes out from the Vineyard Movement, and they say, we need someone to steward coaching. I love coaching. I love people. I love potential in people. And so I started to do that, and they said, we need a pastor who gets this to be the national director of it, national leader of, you know, the specialist on coaching. So I was like, I think, wow, yeah, I think that's me. I felt the Spirit. I felt the Holy Spirit say, write an email. So I write my email. I pour out my heart. Michael Gatlin, who's my boss, I don't even know who Michael Gatlin is. And he goes, and he immediately calls me. He says, come up to Duluth, Minnesota. I want to interview you. Within minutes, we're both looking at each other like, yeah, this is it. You're the guy. I'm like, okay, I don't know what that means, but all right. I fly back home. I go to the first meeting at the MLM at Colorado Springs. I meet Bob Logan, who's a guy who coached me and kind of mentored me in coaching. And the seed came in my mind at the MLM. When I thought about coaching, and I had already thought it at the original training, I thought, there's something beyond just coaching here. I think the Holy Spirit wants to use this to empower all leaders, not just formal coaches, which we need both. So I had this idea. I told Michael, I said, I want to go to Rowlett, Texas. He's like, what's in Rowlett, Texas? Like, there's a church, a vineyard church there, and I want to teach a seminar we've never taught before. He's like, what are you talking about? But the Spirit was giving this to me. So just, it's an important story. So we get there, and Beth and I just start putting all these thoughts together, and she's good at organizing. She put it in a proper good order and got it right. And we taught it for the first time, and there was this little burst of wind. Then we did it again in Augusta, Georgia, and people, there's a little burst of wind on it. It was just principles that we had learned. And then we taught it twice, and then at the next fall meeting, after we did the one in Augusta, we went to this next place, and Michael said, I would like you guys to go to England to teach a coaching. I said, surfboard around the world. We go over to England. We offer to teach that course again. It was called Empowering Leadership. We taught it them, and it exploded in England. I can't explain it. I don't have time. Exploded in England, and then from there, they invited us right back to do it again, and we're going back a couple more times. When we've come to do it here, we're going to do it in other places. What am I trying to say? It's not about the course. It's about the difference between you running what you want to do and God getting a hold of your life and the Spirit starting to tell you what He wants to do. Let me go back to the Scriptures now. That story is only that we didn't initiate it. The Spirit came and spoke to us. And these values of who we are, being a Holy Spirit people, come from a particular root that Wimber taught on. It's this. Values are critical. Holy Spirit ministry, risk-taking criticals. It's like a foundation of a building. You lay the foundation of being a Holy Spirit ministry, a risk-taking ministry, and you build your practices on that. Alexander Venter from South Africa put this into a book called Doing Church. He says, values are the foundation, practices are like the framing, The rooms and furniture are kind of like the hiring of the people and the personalities that make it up. And your programming is all the stuff that's happening in the house. So it comes from values to practices to people to programming. And so you have to live at it. What I mean, I'm going to show the clip now. I'd like you guys to show the clip. But what I mean is this. If we lose the practice of listening, pressing in, and moving by the Holy Spirit, we've lost our DNA as a people. This movie clip I'm going to show now is about a Pacific Island girl named Moana, if you haven't seen it. It's a Disney movie. It's a beautiful movie. My dad was from the Pacific Islands. And it's a picture of her family who had forgotten who they were. They'd gotten into this little safe place. They had some bad experiences, and the reef was just off the coast, and they had kind of cornered themselves in to only stay within the reef, but they were dying while they were doing it. The wind had stopped blowing, life, the fish had stopped coming, and this Moana girl keeps hearing the call of the sea. She keeps hearing some call to more, but she doesn't know what it is. Love this clip. Let's show it.
You've been told all our people's stories, but one.
What is this place?
Do you... Do you really think our ancestors stayed within the reef? The answer to the question you keep asking yourself. Who are you meant to be? Go inside, bang the drum, and find out.
Thank you.
Okay. Maui. Maui. Played by. That's a very personal story to me because I'm part Pacific Islander. So my ancestors did that. But our ancestors in this movement, fathers and mothers, lived a risk-taking lifestyle by the Holy Spirit. Those people had forgotten who they were. They were risk-takers. They were voyagers. Their values were heading out to new places, planting new churches, new campuses, reaching into new places in the community with the gospel. This movement we're in was birthed in risk. It's who we were. Do you see the adventure? I love the pictures on the faces of the little children, you know, running their hand in the water. I love to scuba dive. I love everything about the ocean. But you could see the life in them when they got in touch with who they were as a people that were voyagers. I want to give a couple thoughts, and then I want to speak to you as a church and as a group. I want us to think about coming back to the wind as she did, coming back to sailing, coming back to adventure, coming back to getting beyond our comfort zones. Let's read An Orient to the Wind from John chapter 5. So the Jewish leaders began harassing Jesus for breaking Sabbath rules, the limits, the reef. But Jesus replied, "My Father's always working and so am I." I'm going to come back to that. And the Jewish leaders tried all the harder to find a way to kill him. For he not only broke the Sabbath, he called God his Father, thereby making himself equal with God. And Jesus explained, "I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by himself. He only does what he sees the Father doing." What that means is he only cooperates where he sees wind moving, spirit working in a person's life or in the corporate setting. Whatever the Father does, the Son He does also, for the Father loves the Son and shows him everything he is doing. Now this thing's narrowing. If you will believe God is always working and you will ask him, he will show you where the wind is blowing. He'll do it. It takes faith, it takes risk, it takes hunger, but God will always show you. In fact, the Father will show him how to do greater works than healing this man. Then you will truly be astonished. For just as the Father gives life to those he raises from the dead, so the Son gives life to anyone he wants. In addition, the Father judges no one. Instead, he's given the Son absolute authority to judge so that everyone will honor the Son just as they honor the Father. Anyone who does not honor the Son is certainly not honoring the Father who sent him. We catch the wind by orienting toward the wind, by adjusting your life. You may be in a routine of church or in a routine of your business or even in a rut in your marriage or a rut in your relationships. And the Spirit of God is calling out and he's saying, there's more beyond the reef. There's more in the spirit life than you're experiencing. He's calling you like Moana was being called to. The Father's always working. So this is what I believe. Every place that we go, every conversation I'm in, every time I do, I'm trying to do this. I don't do it all the time. But I say, Father, where are you working? What's the Spirit doing right now? What's going on right now in this life? It's an orientation. It's a confidence that God is always working. So you have to set your sails for it and be ready. But then I have a word that I just felt really strong. Early this morning, I got up, I wrote these notes, and the Spirit highlighted this for you guys, so take it for what it's worth. I feel like you've come and matured into a healthy, vibrant church. And the Lord's very pleased with you. You've come to a great place. But there is more. There's more for you. I don't know what it is. He didn't give me that. He said you're in a great place. But do not settle here as if where you are is all there is. Do you hear what I'm saying? Corporately or individually, don't just say, well, we've reached this place. You're a healthy, living, vibrant church doing a lot of things, but there's more. I don't know what it is. I'm going to let you figure that out, Raymond. It's in God, but he's calling you guys beyond. It may involve some risk. What are the more could be?
He said there was more love for you guys. You are already a loving church. I don't know what that means, but more love for this church, for each other and for God and for others. There's more power that he has for this church. There's more of his presence that he has for this church. There's more discernment where he's working, where all the programs you're doing are very life-giving and healthy. But be ready, he's saying, for a new vein of the Spirit to take you and as a church into places as individuals or corporately you've never been before. I don't know what that means. I'm not one of those accurate prophetic that can give you, you know, huge pictures. I just saw you guys, like on the movie, heading out towards new adventures, new places. It's very, very powerful. I just give that with you. And then the last one he said, there's more courage. There's more courage inside of you than God is you've currently walked in. So what does it mean, lastly, to go beyond the reef? For you to embrace the more. For you to get there. A couple thoughts, and then I want to pray for some people. What it means is that you got to face any fears you and I are walking in. I was ashamed that I was a vineyard pastor and I wasn't moving in the Spirit. I had to face that. I had to say, it's not happening. As much as I'd like to like act like it's happening or pretend or want people to think that I'm moving in the Spirit, I wasn't. I'd been hurt. I'd been wounded. I'd seen things I didn't like, and I withdrew from the risk. And I'm a risk-taking guy. I like jumping out of airplanes, flying helicopters very fast, right on the deck, blacked out, with no lights, with guns on the side. Okay? Anybody, you dig that? I've spent months of my life at Fort Hood, Texas, blowing up stuff. Seriously. I served in the 1991 Gulf War, and we blew up lots of stuff. But I spent a lot of time at Fort Hood, Texas. I've jumped off the sides of mountains and rock climbing and rappelling, hanging in midair 90 feet above the ground on 11 millimeter little piece of rope. I love scuba diving with sharks and stingrays. All kinds of just fun stuff. I love the adrenaline. But I was scared to trust the Holy Spirit. You follow me? I might have been naturally not afraid, but there was fear inside of me. But I want to tell you something exciting. I would have been a cheerleader if they'd have let me, but I was probably too loud. Is that it is so much more fun sailing than rowing. Come on, church, give me something there. Rather than going, well, dear God, I'm just going to work my tail off till Jesus comes back. No. There's power. There's wind. There's other cities. There's other nations. There's more people that need to hear about Jesus. And the power of God will take us places. It'll change us and transform us. It'll move us in things and doing things we've never seen before. And what would I say? I just want to cover in Hebrews what faith means. Faith, John Wimber said, is R-I-S-K. Let's read what it means to go beyond the reef, go beyond your fears. What more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, also of David and Samuel and the prophets, who, listen, by risk, faith spelled R, I'm going to change the word to risk. By risk subdued kingdoms. By risk worked righteousness. By risk obtained promises. By risk stopped the mouths of lions. By risk quenched the violence of the fire. By risk escaped the edge of the sword. By risk out of weakness they became strong. By risk they became valiant in battle and turned to flight the armies of aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. I'm not going to read the rest, but the rest speaks of the not yet part of the kingdom. Others had promises they didn't see. Others didn't receive their dead back. Others went into things with God and were killed in the process. I want to be honest with you. Risk doesn't promise any particular outcome. It's just you're called to take it. Something happened here Saturday. What night was it? I don't know. Was it Friday night? I'm gonna end with just this. I don't know how to describe it. I was really, really tired, and we were coming back from dinner, and I didn't have any gas to teach, and I knew I wasn't supposed to. And so we played some Vineyard songs. We just loved on the Lord. We just worshiped him. And there was a man named Bob Oliver. I don't know who Bob Oliver is. He's from Arlington, Texas. And I know Raymond really loves Dallas, and that's just a great thing. And so I just really feel a real connection. Maybe prophetically, you're to love Dallas. I don't know. But anyway, just kidding. He brings that out in me. But the Spirit said to me while we were worshiping, I heard there's a phrase from that song, and it says, "We tell the stories of our elders in a never-ending chain." And I felt the Lord say, "Ask an elder, Bob, to come and speak of the early days of the Vineyard movement." It was right in that room in there, and he came, and he began to speak of the early days of who we were as a people. It was just like a tribal elder in a tribe. And as he came, you could feel the Spirit come into the room, and we were all just sitting there like little children. You were like this. You're just like, those of you who are there know what I'm talking about. And the Spirit of God came in the room and began to move on all of us. You could feel the numinous, the present, active, physical almost presence of the Holy Spirit in the room. And then he began to minister to various people. But he said this. He said in Fort Lauderdale just a few weeks ago, in this month, the Holy Spirit moved at a National Vineyard Leaders meeting, and they just invited God to come. And for the first time, maybe in a long time, they had experienced the numinous, what we experienced there, the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit moving through the leaders. People got to be filled with the Spirit, speaking in tongues maybe again or for the first time. People being touched and powerfully moved inside of themselves by the person of the Holy Spirit. It was incredible. I can't unpack it because I'm not that smart. But what I do sense from it is this. It happened right here. Huh? You ever seen at a water park? They have this big tank and it just fills with water and it fills with water and it fills with water and all of a sudden it goes like, do you have those here? And it just goes kerplusha. That's a word in the dictionary. Kerplusha. I believe the Spirit of God wants to be poured out again as he's done in the past, and he wants to do it here as well. Going beyond the reef may mean a lot of things. It may mean being like I had to do, admitting I'm afraid of what the Spirit, how weird it might be if I let the Spirit have his way. Or it may be I've never spoken tongues on my language. Or I don't know what that means. Or it may mean, what if God asked me to do something I don't really want to do? And we narrow him in. I don't know what it means. All I know is I'm having the time of my life following a journey I don't know where it's going. And I want to invite you into it. So I don't know what you all do here. If there's a musician comes, or I don't know what the practice is, but is that how you do ministry? Could some of the singers or the... No? Or?
I don't know, but Bill, show what you got.
Okay. Could we just all stand? And I just want to close with just a little bit of... But I really feel there's something the Spirit wants to do right here. There's more, guys. Something while I've been talking has been calling to you, like Moana heard the call to the sea. It's the call to more in Jesus. And Joel here, I think he came up with this phrase called Moana up. And I don't know what to tell you, but that thing was just got me. But it was this thing of face whatever you need to face, to step beyond the reef, what's safe. So I don't know what we're supposed to do. Let's just invite the Holy Spirit come in this room right now. Just come right now. Just keep real, real, real light, real light. Just come, Holy Spirit, right now. We invite you into this room now.
Sorry.
It's okay. It's cool.
Let's just wait. Come, Spirit. Some people here have been crying in the night. You've been crying in the night. There's a desperation in a few of you here for more, for life, for Him, for your situation to change. There's other of you who just feel this tug in your belly to give it to Jesus and say, have your way completely. I don't feel led to define it. I know this is very, very general. But if you feel it's time for you to step into a deeper place and a more of what God has for you, I want you to come to the front right now. Just get out of your seat. Don't even try to analyze it, think about it like, I need to do this or that. Just get out of your seat. Just come up here and don't even, I try to tell people like, don't super think it. Don't overthink it. How's that? Don't overthink it. Just come up here, and I'm going to invite the presence of the Holy Spirit to touch you and move you, and it's always, you can keep coming. It doesn't really matter. If you hadn't come now, come. If you just keep feeling a nudge, just come. And let's just ask the Spirit to take. Your church is so ready. It's so ripe for a move of Jesus. I'm telling you, this is a great church, and there's more. So I don't know if there's anybody left on the ministry team. I don't know. Yeah, they're all up here. Okay, so that's okay. That's okay. We don't need all that. Okay, that's okay. That's okay. Just, okay. Let's cooperate with the Holy Spirit. I'm going to walk and demonstrate out like Wimber would have done in a clinic time. Holy Spirit, what do you want to do right now? Should you say that in a mic? Did everybody hear that?
There's a call this morning, and I believe God is using this man. It's like a tribal call, of like he was explaining. And God does, and I think he always does. He wants us to turn the ship back out to sea. And this morning, it's like as us coming up, we're just showing the willingness that as we're walking up here, I just see us actually stepping onto the sailboat.
Come,
and the winds
more,
are starting
more,
to, the sails are starting to rise.
More. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. I see a wave coming from the back of the sanctuary, moving across all of you and moving up towards the front. And it's coming. It's just kind of crashing over the front here. There's a wave of the Spirit in here. Who has anyone been crying in the night? Who is there anyone here who would be willing to say they've been in such desperate, they've been weeping at night? Okay, come up. Would you come up here? Is that okay? I'm not trying to. Reach your hand out to him right now. Just reach your hand out to him, because that was a word. That was called a word of knowledge. And the Spirit just wants to love him, and break that off. So wholeness and fullness and life come, Holy Spirit, now, in the name of Jesus. Bless this blessed son right now by the power of your presence.
Let your love just soak him now. Soak him. Spirit, come right now and soak his heart and pickle his heart in love and saturate it, Jesus. So the numinous of God fills the empty places. Jesus, we pray you'd fill him now with the power of your presence and your Holy Spirit, and you would just bless God. Oh, Lord Jesus, this Daniel in our midst, Lord God. You are a Daniel in our midst, and supernatural strategies are going to begin to come to you from the Spirit of God, not from what you can produce, because you're really smart and you're really bright. But this has nothing to do with your ability. This has everything to do with your pressing into the person of the Holy Spirit. Come now. Come and just rest on him now. Rest on him mightily now. Spirit, just come and speak right now. Just receive. Just receive. Just receive. Come, Holy Spirit. Just come. Just fill him, Jesus. Fill him, Father. Fill him, Father. Fill him, Jesus. Just fill him, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. See a mental, like a band around your head, and it popped off. There's something around your head, and it broke open. Come, Holy Spirit. I don't know what that means, but Spirit, come. Can I have some ministry team people just come up and just sit with him, just pray with him? Who could do that? Just stay there. Don't go anywhere. Just pray. I'm going to release. Yeah, dude.